At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Picture the scene. You're sitting in a window seat, buckled in, looking out at the ground crew scurrying around on the tarmac below. You feel a gentle bump as the jet bridge pulls away, and then a low hum begins to build. The hum grows into a deep, powerful whine that vibrates through your seat and fills the cabin. As the plane taxis onto the runway, that sound builds into a roar of incredible power. The pilot pushes the throttles forward, and you are pressed firmly back into your seat by an invisible, relentless force. The runway markers become a blur, the nose lifts, and in a moment that never loses its magic, the rumbling of the ground gives way to the smooth sensation of flight. You are airborne, climbing thousands of feet per minute, carried aloft by the two metal tubes hanging under the wings. They are feats of incredible engineering, turning simple air and fuel into the immense power needed to lift a machine weighing hundreds of thousands of pounds into the sky. But how? How does a jet engine actually work? Welcome back to How Does That Work? In today's episode, we're going to step inside one of the most powerful and sophisticated machines ever built. We're going to follow the air as it's sucked in, squeezed, ignited, and blasted out to generate the incredible force of thrust. While the modern jet engine feels like a product of the last few decades, its story is a fascinating tale of parallel invention, where two brilliant minds, in two different countries, were working on the exact same world-changing idea at the exact same time, completely unaware of each other. The core idea of using a jet of gas for propulsion is ancient, first demonstrated by the Greek inventor, Hero of Alexandria, with his steam-powered spinning sphere called the Aeolipile. But the idea of a modern, air-breathing jet engine was born in the minds of two young men in the 1930s. In England, a young Royal Air Force officer named Frank Whittle patented a design for a turbojet engine in 1930. He saw it as the future of flight, a way to fly much higher and faster than propeller planes ever could. But he struggled for years to get anyone to take his radical idea seriously, fighting for funding and support from a skeptical government. At the very same time, across the English Channel in Germany, a young physicist named Hans von Ohain was also working on his own design for a jet engine, and he even wrote to his patent office, "I have the impression that I am not the first to have this idea." He was right. Working with the aircraft manufacturer Heinkel, von Ohain had more resources and support than Whittle. This led to a critical moment in history. On August 27, 1939, just days before the start of World War II, a small experimental German plane, the Heinkel He-178, took to the skies. It was the world's first aircraft to fly using the power of a turbojet engine. A couple of years later, in 1941, an experimental British plane powered by Frank Whittle's engine, the Gloster E-28/39, made its own successful first flight. The jet age had officially begun in secret, and it would go on to completely change the face of both military and commercial aviation forever. At its very core, a jet engine is a beautiful and powerful demonstration of one of the most fundamental laws of physics, Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's a common misconception that a jet engine pushes the plane forward by pushing against the air behind it. That's not quite right. A much better way to think about it is that a jet engine is a machine designed to grab a huge amount of air from in front of it and throw it out the back as fast as possible. The action of throwing that mass of air backward creates an equal and opposite reaction that pushes the engine, and therefore the airplane, forward. You can see this principle in action with a simple balloon. If you blow up a balloon and just let it go, it doesn't just fall to the floor. It flies wildly around the room as the air rushes out. The balloon is throwing air in one direction, and that action pushes the balloon in the opposite direction. A jet engine is just a very, very powerful and controlled way of doing the exact same thing. To accomplish this, a modern jet engine follows a simple but incredibly powerful four-step process. a cycle that engineers often call suck, squeeze, bang, blow. It's a continuous self-sustaining loop that takes ordinary air from the atmosphere and turns it into a powerful jet of thrust. Every part of the engine, from the giant fan you see at the front to the nozzle at the back, is designed to perform one of these four jobs in perfect sequence. The journey begins with suck. The first thing you see when you look at a modern jet engine on an airliner is a massive fan with huge curved blades. This is the intake stage. As the engine starts up, this fan begins to spin, grabbing an enormous volume of air and pulling it into the engine. The amount of air is staggering. A large jet engine on a plane, like a Boeing 777, can swallow the entire volume of air in a two-story house in less than 2 seconds. But here's something interesting. On a modern high-bypass turbofan engine, which is what nearly all commercial airliners use, only a small portion of that air actually goes into the core of the engine to be burned. Most of it, sometimes as much as 90%, is simply accelerated by the fan and bypassed around the hot core, flowing through the big casing you see. This cooler, slower-moving air then mixes with the hot, fast-moving jet coming out of the core. This bypass air is a huge part of what makes modern engines so much more fuel-efficient and quieter than their older counterparts. The smaller portion of air that doesn't get bypassed is now sent into the engine's core, and this is where the squeeze happens. This air enters the compressor. The compressor is an amazing piece of engineering, made up of many rows of small, fan-like blades. You can think of it as a series of progressively smaller and more powerful spinning fans. Each row of spinning blades, called a rotor, speeds the air up and forces it backward. It then hits a row of stationary blades, called a stator, which doesn't spin but is angled to redirect the air and squeeze it. This process repeats itself through many stages, and with each stage, the air gets more and more compressed. It's like forcing air through a dozen bicycle pumps, one after another. By the time the air leaves the compressor, its pressure has been increased by as much as 50 times, and it is incredibly dense and scorching hot, even before any fuel has been added. Now that we have this super compressed, hot, and dense air, it's time for the bang. The air is forced into the combustion chamber. This is where a series of fuel nozzles are constantly spraying a fine mist of jet fuel, which is essentially a highly refined form of kerosene, into the air. An igniter, similar to a spark plug in a car, provides the initial spark to light this mixture. But this isn't a single explosion. It's a continuous, controlled, and incredibly intense burn, like the roaring flame of a giant blowtorch. This combustion adds a massive amount of heat energy to the air, causing it to expand violently and rush toward the only exit it can find, the back of the engine. This brings us to the final and most brilliant part of the cycle, the blow. The fiery high-pressure gas from the combustion chamber blasts out toward the back of the engine at tremendous speed. But before it can escape, it has to pass through one last set of bladed wheels. This is the turbine. The turbine's job is not to provide thrust. Its job is to harness some of the energy from the rushing hot gas, making it spin like a pinwheel in a hurricane. This is the genius of the jet engine. The turbine is connected to a long shaft that runs all the way through the center of the engine to the front, and it's this shaft that spins the compressor and the giant fan at the intake. The bang stage provides the power to run the suck and squeeze stages, making the entire engine a completely self-sustaining system. Once the gas has passed through the turbine, the remaining high-speed jet screams out of the exhaust nozzle at the back. It is this final powerful blast of air, combined with the cooler air from the bypass stream, that produces the thrust, creating that equal and opposite reaction that pushes the airplane forward through the sky. We've talked about how a modern airliner engine bypasses a lot of air around the core, but this design is actually what separates it from its older, faster, and much louder cousins. The original jet engines, like the ones developed by Whittle and von Ohain, were pure turbojets. In a turbojet, 100% of the air that gets sucked in goes through the core. It gets squeezed, burned, and blasted out the back. This creates an incredibly fast and powerful jet of exhaust, which is perfect if your only goal is to go as fast as possible, which is why turbojets are still used in things like supersonic fighter jets and missiles. The downside is that they are extremely loud and burn a massive amount of fuel. The engine on a modern passenger jet is a turbofan. The turbo part is the core engine we described, the compressor, combustor, and turbine. But the fan part is the giant set of blades at the very front. The genius of the turbofan is that the hot core's main job isn't to create all the thrust itself. Its main job is to act as a powerful gas generator to spin that massive fan. The fan is what produces most of the engine's thrust, up to 90% of it, by grabbing a huge mass of air and throwing it backward. It's far more efficient to move a huge amount of air slowly than it is to move a small amount of air quickly. Think of it like this. A turbojet is like trying to move a boat by shooting a fire hose at the water behind it. A turbofan is like using a huge, powerful propeller. The fire hose is faster, but the propeller moves a lot more water and is far more efficient for moving a heavy boat. This high bypass design is the single biggest reason why flying has become so much more affordable and why modern airports are so much quieter than they were in the early jet age. So if turbojets are the engines of choice for supersonic fighters, how do those jets get the spectacular earth-shaking burst of power you see at an air show? How do they generate that long, brilliant diamond-patterned flame and the thunderous roar that you feel in your chest? That is the magic of the afterburner. An afterburner is essentially a second, crude, and incredibly powerful engine bolted onto the back of the main jet engine. It's a way to temporarily dump a massive amount of raw fuel into the system for a short-term, mind-blowing increase in thrust. To understand how it works, you have to know a key secret about the main engine. To prevent the turbine blades from instantly melting, the engine is deliberately run fuel lean, meaning there is way more air and oxygen going through the core than the fuel can actually burn. So the exhaust gas that comes out of the back of the turbine, while incredibly hot, is still full of unburned superheated oxygen. An afterburner is simply a long pipe with a series of rings inside that spray jet fuel directly into this hot, oxygen-rich exhaust stream. There are no extra turbines or compressors. The fuel simply ignites in a continuous raw explosion, massively increasing the temperature and pressure of the gas. This new, super-energized gas has to escape, and it does so with ferocious velocity, creating up to 50% more thrust. To handle this huge increase in pressure and volume, the exhaust nozzle at the very back of the afterburner must be able to change shape. This is the variable or convergent-divergent nozzle you see on fighter jets that looks like a series of overlapping petals. When the afterburner is off, the nozzle is narrower. When the pilot engages the afterburner, the nozzle opens wide to unleash the massive plume of fiery gas. The trade-off for this incredible power is a catastrophic loss of efficiency. Engaging an afterburner can triple or even quadruple the engine's fuel consumption, which is why it's only used for a few moments at a time during critical situations like takeoffs from an aircraft carrier, dogfights, or breaking the sound barrier. It is the engine's emergency power button, sacrificing all efficiency for pure, unadulterated power. The turbojet and the high-bypass turbofan are the most famous members of the jet family. But the same core technology, suck, squeeze, bang, blow, has been adapted to create other amazing types of engines. For instance, if you've ever flown on a smaller regional airplane, you may have seen propellers instead of the big enclosed fans of a jetliner. That is likely a turboprop. A turboprop is essentially a hybrid. It has a jet engine core, a compressor, combustor, and turbine. But its main purpose isn't to create thrust by shooting gas out the back. Instead, almost all the energy from the hot gas is used to spin the turbine, which then drives a shaft connected to a gearbox. This gearbox slows down the incredible rotational speed of the jet core to turn a traditional propeller at its most efficient speed. A turboprop uses the lightweight, powerful, and reliable core of a jet engine to do the job a piston engine used to do, making it perfect for efficient flight at lower altitudes and speeds. But what if you want to go in the other direction? What if you want to go so fast that fan blades and turbines just get in the way? For that, you need the simplest and most extreme jet engine imaginable, the ramjet. A ramjet has no moving parts. It has no fan and no compressor. It is, in its purest form, a carefully shaped tube. A ramjet can only work when it is already moving at incredible speeds, typically above the speed of sound. At these speeds, the air rushing into the engine's intake is so fast that it literally compresses itself, just by being rammed into a narrowing tube. Once this air is compressed, fuel is added and ignited, and the resulting hot gas blasts out the back to produce thrust. Because it can't start from a standstill, a ramjet-powered vehicle needs another engine, like a rocket, to get it up to speed first. An even more extreme version is the scramjet, which stands for supersonic combustion ramjet. In a scramjet, the air never even slows down below the speed of sound as it passes through the engine. Trying to sustain a controlled burn in a supersonic airflow is one of the greatest challenges in engineering, often compared to lighting a match in a hurricane and keeping it lit. These engines are designed for hypersonic flight at speeds of Mach 5 and beyond. One of the most mind-boggling parts of a jet engine is the sheer violence of the environment inside it. When the fuel and compressed air ignite in the combustion chamber, the temperature can reach over 2,000 degrees Celsius or 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit. This is hotter than the melting point of the metal alloys that the engine is made from. So how on earth does the engine not just melt into a puddle of slag the moment it's running at full power? The answer lies in some of the most advanced materials science and ingenious cooling techniques ever developed. The blades in the turbine section, which sit directly in the path of this superheated gas blast, are not made of ordinary steel. They are grown from exotic superalloys, usually based on nickel, that are designed to resist extreme heat and stress. But even that isn't enough. The most critical blades are actually grown as a single perfect metal crystal. In a normal piece of metal, the structure is made of many tiny crystals, and under intense heat and the unimaginable centrifugal force of spinning thousands of times per minute, those tiny crystal boundaries can slowly stretch and pull apart in a process called creep. By growing the entire blade as one continuous crystal, there are no boundaries to pull apart, making it incredibly strong. Even a single crystal superalloy blade can't survive the heat on its own. The real secret is that the turbine blades are hollow. Inside each blade is a complex, maze-like series of tiny passages and channels. The engine cleverly bleeds off some of the cooler air from the compressor stage before it gets burned and routes it through these internal passages. This cooler air then flows out through thousands of microscopic holes that have been laser drilled into the surface of the blade, creating a thin protective film of cooler air that hugs the blade's surface. In effect, the hottest parts of the engine are constantly sweating cool air to insulate themselves from the fiery gas rushing past them. It is an engineering marvel that allows a metal component to operate perfectly in a gas that is hundreds of degrees hotter than its own melting point. So the next time you're sitting on a runway waiting for takeoff, listen for that incredible sound. It's not just noise, it's the sound of a perfectly controlled, self-sustaining hurricane of fire and air. It's the sound of Newton's simplest law being harnessed by some of the most complex materials and ingenious engineering ever conceived. From the simple idea of throwing air backward to the mind-bending reality of a metal blade cooling itself in a fire hotter than lava, the jet engine is a true testament to human ingenuity. It's the machine that shrank our world, a controlled explosion that allows us to peacefully soar through the sky.